Bismillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Remember, we said that in this second session, we're starting at 3:49. So we'd finish like about 5 minutes, 25 to 5, sorry. With the advent of Islam, there were situations that cropped up where there was ikhtilaf, or there were problems that has set in, not problems as such, but differences of opinion even among the Sahabas, companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I was told shortly before we started the class that we have a couple 12-year-olds or so here, you know, who cannot understand how it is we can have one Islam and we could have different imams. But even before, prior to the imams, let's look at what happened in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and have an understanding of this, and not to see it as dissenting voices and differences between each other where they were going to pull their blades and pull their swords for one another. No. Bukhari and Muslim, rahimahumullah, they have reported concerning Yawm al-Ahzab, when the Confederates, when they came together to destroy the Muslims in Medina, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to a band of Muslim fighters, he said to them, "La yusalliyanna ahadun al-asr illa fi bani Quraida." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this expedition, "No one of you is to perform salatul asr except in Banu Quraida." Now, what happened here? Ibn Kathir had to say concerning this particular hadith, he said, قَدْ اِخْتَلَفَ الْعُلَمَاء فِي الْمُصِيبِ يَوْمَ إِذْ مَنْ هُوَ. He says, the ulama of Islam, they asked the question, who was the musib, who was the one who was correct on that particular day? That day when that instruction came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. بَلْ الْإِجْمَاعَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ كُلًّا مِنَ الْفَرِقَيْنِ مأجور معذور غير مؤنث. What had happened? He says that there is ijma' or consensus among the Muslims that all of both parties, that from the two parties that had taken separate positions, that they were ma'jur, that they were rewarded, ma'zur, and that they were excused, غَيْرِ مُعَنَّفًا, nothing in terms of hatred or in terms of vexation or anger were shown to any of them. What had happened is that a group of those, when they heard the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no one of you is to pray until he reaches Banu Qurayza. It was a long distance. Some of them, when the time for Salatul Asr came, they performed Salatul Asr when the time had come. In other words, they stopped their animals and they performed it. Another group of people, they prayed Salatul Asr when? After the sun had set in Banu Qurayza. In other words, some of the Sahabas interpreted the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being literal. Perform Salatul Asr where? In Banu Qurayza. No matter what time you had reached. The other group understood that it was not a literal instruction, but that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually telling you, speed up, get there quickly, and do what you have to do. But it did not abrogate the instruction for the performance of Salatul Asr ala waqtiha, in its proper time. I hope the situation is understood. Subhanallah, what a beautiful thing. What a situation to understand the truth and the beauty of Islam, ya akhil kareem. That two groups of people, hearing one instruction from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understanding it differently, and both of them being ma'jurun, ma'zurun, ghayru mu'annaf, that they would be rewarded and they would be excused from any mistake that they had made, if there was any. And no hatred or vexation would be shown to them. And this was the case. When the matter came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no group from among these two groups were asked to repeat their salah as if they had missed it. There is The understanding of some of the scholars too, that instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a specific instruction to them, and that those people, their Salatul Asr, those Sahaba to whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke, their Salatul Asr on that day and for them alone was after the sun had set, because it was to be done in a location and it was not connected to the period of time, subhanallah. Because he said, do not pray until you reach Banu Qurayza. So you can understand then that those who hold either the literal or the other interpretation, that depending on how you look at the situation, you can either say that this group was right or the other was right. But the fact is that none of them were asked to repeat their prayer by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that all of them, mashallah, all of them had done what was correct based on their interpretation and their understanding. It is important to note here that this is from Mimbabil Ikhtilaf, that there were two differences of opinion, but the two having equal weight and both of them being rewarded, as compared to Al-Babil Mukhalafa, as when Nuh said to his son, come, irkab ma'ana, come and ride with us. And he said he would look for a jabal, right? And he would find that mountain, and he will climb the mountain, and that would save him. And they went their separate ways. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. And a wave came between him, and he, the son of Noah, was one of those who were drowned and who were destroyed. Another situation that took place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why it is we are going through these examples, ya akhi? To show that as long as there are human beings who have a brain, that they are going to make ijtihad, that they are going to make effort, and we are going to come to slightly different understandings. But as long as there is taqwa in the heart, and our targets are the same, and our objectives are the same, even though that may be the case, it does not mean that we are heading in polar opposite directions. And so, Usara Badr, the prisoners of the Battle of Badr, La ilaha illallah, first battle in Islam, 113 people, small group, contemptible little group, وَكَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many small little negligent or negligible groups you have seen defeat large masses? The battle was finished, the kuffar were defeated, but they took prisoners, 60 or 70 prisoners. What to do with the prisoners? Mushkila. We have a problem. You know what Umar ibn al-Khattab said? He said, kill every one of them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after Umar had said, Ya Rasulallah, adrib a'naqahum, beat on their necks literally, which means take their heads off. فَأَعْرَضَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْهُ. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم turned away from him, as if to say, Ya Umar, how you could say such a thing, subhanAllah. These are our prisoners. You mean we're just going to take the lives of every one of them? He turned away from him. In other words, I can't take that position. فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ نَرَى أَن نَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَأَن نَقْبَلْ مِنْهُمَ الْفِدَى. Abu Bakr, on the other hand, he says, I see in it forgiveness, Ya Rasulullah, let's forgive these people. And what we'll do? We'll take al-fida, the afidya from them. We'll take a compensation in terms of money or in terms of property and give them their freedom. And this position was more acceptable to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فأنزل الله, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لولا كتاب من الله سبق لمسكم فيها فيما أخذتم عذاب عظيم. That if it wasn't for a book or a writing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent forth before, there would have touched you a grievous and a great punishment. Let's see what this story says a little further on. In a riwayah that is reported by Imam Ahmad and Imam Muslim and Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, لِلَّذِي عَرَضَ عَلَيَّ أَصْحَابَكَ, what it is my your friends or your brothers, your companions have told me, مِنْ أَخْذِهِمَ الْفِدَاءَ قَدْ عُرِضَ عَلَيَّ عَذَابُكُمْ أَوْ عَذَابَكُمْ أَجْنَى مِنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Because of what some of your friends have said, or your companions have said, he's speaking to one of his sahabas, I have been shown a punishment that would be closer to us, that would have descended upon us, closer than a tree. وَشَجَرَ قَرِيبٌ, and the tree was close. وَشَجَرَ قَرِيبٌ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taken up one of the positions, let's see which is the correct one. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى يُبْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى يُبْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ تُرِيدُونَ عَرَضَ حَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا تُرِيدُونَ عَرَضَ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةَ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Subhanallah. مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ, it was not for a prophet. لِنَبِيٍ, for a prophet, any prophet, Rasulullah and all those who came before, أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى, for him to take prisoners. حَتَّى يُثْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, until he makes his position stable and settled on the earth. تُرِيدُونَ عَرَضَ الدُّنْيَا, you want what the life of this world has to offer for you? Rebuke from the Lord of the universe. Rebuke. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endorsing the position of whom? The one who says, Ya Rasulullah, adrifakun unakuhum. Subhanallah, take off their necks. Turiduna arada dunya, wallahu yuridul akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes the hereafter. Wallahu azizun hakeem, and He is powerful and mighty, and He is the hakeem, He is the just. And then the other ayah comes down. فَلَوْلَا كِتَابٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ سَبَقَ لَمَّسَّكُمْ فِي مَا أَخَذْتُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And if it wasn't for that which was written from before, that a painful punishment would have descended on you. فِي الْحُدَيْبِيَةِ يَا أَخِي الْكَرِيمِ. And I hope my young brothers, the 12-year-olds and so on, they are realizing that what is the difference, where is the understanding of اختلاف. That me and my brother here, we might have a difference in understanding, يَا أَخِي. I might decide that I want to drink this cup of water from this side, and he might want to drink it from on this side. But does it mean that it have to get between us? Does it mean that when we see ikhtilaf between the ulama, that meant that there was enmity and hatred between them and they went their separate ways? No. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he would come to Medina, and he came, and Imam Malik was the imam there, and he performed the salah behind him. Imam Ash-Shafi'i, he came to Medina and he met Imam Malik, and he asked for a copy of Al-Muwatta to be borrowed, and he borrowed Al-Muwatta from some of his students. Remember holding a book or having a book at that time. A nuskha was something of greatness. Why? Because an entire book had to be penned. Not like now. You lend me a book, I go and make a photocopy and I bring it back for you. Maybe that is why we don't have the value for knowledge, ya akhi. But you had to get a copy of your book. You better get somebody to copy out that book by hand for you and to do it accurately. Or you do it yourself. Having a book in your hand was a tremendous blessing. Imam Ash-Shafi'i, he takes the book and he goes and he comes back a week after and says, Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. So the student is telling Imam Ash-Shafi'i, you can hold on to it a little bit longer. It's no problem. He said, Alhamdulillah, I had enough. You know what he did? From cover to cover, memorized the entire of Muwatta. La ilaha illallah. 1 week, ya akhi. 1 week. La ilaha illallah. A'immah, ya akhi al-kareem. After having memorized the book and having his nuskha and having his copy of Al-Muwatta, Did you think, or do you think, that Imam Shafi'i would say, hey, I had enough of Imam Malik, time for me to move on? No, he sits together with the students of Imam Malik and he studies Al-Muwatta under the great Imam. So what are we seeing? Are we seeing differences and people heading in different directions? Ya akhi? No. It's one. Imam Shafi'i would tell Imam Ahmad, Ya Ahmad, tell me about the hadith that you got from Khurasan, you got from Basra, and you got from Kufa. Because لِأَنَّكَ أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ مِنِّي بِأَحَدِيثِهِمْ. Because you know more about the hadith than me. And if you have that, tell it to me so that I can make it my madhab. Imam Shafi'i did not tell me about the hadith of the people of Egypt. Why? Because that's where he lived and he was A'lam. And he knew more of the hadith of the people of Egypt than Imam Ahmad. What are we seeing here? Where's the ikhtilaf? Where's the problem? Or is it that we who have little and no understanding, we create the problems? Because what happened after the imams died, rahimahumullah, it is their people who would take the thing and split it up and say, hey, you know, this is my imam, I'm not seeing anybody else, I don't want to hear from him. And ta'asuliyah, dogmatism. Until they started to fabricate ahadith and fabricate and bring things that would show hatred from one school of thought to the other. What would they say? They came up with the hadith al-mawdu'. سيأتي إلى هذه الأمة رجل يقال له محمد بن إدريس هو أشد على الأمة من إبليس لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Hadith mawdu'. A lie on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What they would say? That there would come to this Ummah a person by the name of Muhammad ibn Idris. That was Imam Shafi'i. And I have to tell you, the people who came out with this hadith were the Hanafiyyah. May Allah forgive all of us. Allahumma aghfir lana wa aghfir lahum. Allahumma aghfir lana wa aghfir lahum. Allahumma aghfir lana wa aghfir lahum. And he is ashad, he is more serious to this Ummah, and he is more destructive on this Ummah than Iblis. It so happens, not so happens, and it's not luck and it's not chance. This is the way that Allah, Qaddar Allah, that Imam Abu Hanifa, he died in the age 150, and Imam Shafi, you know when he was born? In the year 150. You know what they say? Allahumma aghfir lana wa aghfir lahum. They say that out of fear, Imam Shafi'i waited until Imam Abu Hanifa died, so then he could come in this world. What is this? In the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went together with his companions, together with the sacrificial animals, and they headed to Makkah to perform the Umrah. They were dressed in their ihram and all they wanted, and from their evidence, what you would see, you saw no weapons. And they were on their way to perform Umrah. The Meccans, they came, this was when they were in Medina, and there was still the hatred, and there wasn't Fath for Makkah, there wasn't the conquest of Makkah as yet. The Meccans, they saw what was taking place, and they came and met them in a place called Hudaybiyah, and they said, hey, you're not going to go in there. You're not going to perform the Umrah. What happened is that they stopped them in their tracks and said, go back. They said, okay, let's organize a treaty or a pact between us. And the pact, one of the major conditions was that go from here now. Do not enter Makkah and sacrifice your animals. So do whatever you want and you'll come back next year and perform the Hajj. The Prophet ﷺ agreed to that and one or two other conditions, and they went back to Medina. Umar is mad. How can we? We are the Muslims. We are going to perform Umrah. And these people turn us away and we have to go back home? Nah. We're going into Makkah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the ayah of Quran. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Surely we have granted you a manifest victory indeed. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in Surah Al-Fath the first and the second ayah. He says, we have granted you a manifest victory. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهِ, that Allah might forgive you. And when the domir or the pronoun is speaking in the mukhatab and it is singular, it is understood that Allah is speaking to His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهِ, that Allah might forgive you. It's Muhammad we're speaking about sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Allah might forgive you. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, what you have sent forth and what went after. وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ, and that He might fulfill His decree upon you. نِعْمَتَهُ, and His bounty upon you. وَيَهْدِيَكَ, and that He might guide you. يَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا, on the straight path. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ Rasulullah, and Allah is telling him so that you can be guided, O Muhammad, on the straight path sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatham mubina ya akhi, a manifest victory. Why? Because this, there was so much rage. You speak about road rage here. There was so much rage and enmity that the Quraysh wanted to kill and to destroy the Muslims, wipe them out and annihilate them from the face of the earth. But with this pact and with this treaty, there was a little lull and ease, because now both have to honor their parts of the contract, and that it was the first opportunity, the window of opportunity for Muslims to start to send expeditions to various parts, apart from Mecca, but to send under peace and security, and the da'wah spread like never before. Victory or not victory, Yahi? What is my annual objective in life, ya akhi? Just to go out there and to meet a kafir man, to give him the da'wah, ya akhi. And wallahi, any of us taste that, the sweetness of that da'wah, they can't stop it. It's like a bug that has bitten you. But that's another topic. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has died, or had died, people started to complain. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he could not accept that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had died. No, he says, not my beloved Prophet. He has not died. It is just an inqita', it is just a cut in nubuwwah, in prophethood. But he is going to come again, or he is going to revive, and he is going to continue with doing what he was doing. It was in this situation, ikhtilaf. And anyone who had said anything contrary to that, he would take the neck off. He was walking with the sword in his hand. He could not believe that Rasulullah has passed away. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the sahib of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ascends the mimbar and he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, innahu man kana ya'budu Muhammadan, fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Wa man kana ya'budu Allah, fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut. La ilaha illallah. Beautiful words. And the sword falls from the hand of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He says, O people. He's standing on the minbar and he's saying, O people, whoever used to worship Muhammad, Muhammad has passed away. He is deceased. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, and whoever used to worship Allah, فَإِنَّهُ حَيْءٍ, he is alive and he will never die. This is settled. How is it settled? Because as soon as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he is finished here, what he quotes. What? The words of Allah. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, the ayah of Quran. And Muhammad is no more than a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولٌ, many were the messengers who passed away before him. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ كُتِلًا قَلَبُتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ. If he was to die, or if he was killed, would you then turn back on your heels? The issue is settled. Giving us that tawjih, giving us that direction in settling all of our affairs, ya akhil kareem. So then we want to look at, inshallah, what is the importance or the essentiality of ijtihad, of making ijtihad. And what is its proof? Is there any reasoning behind our making ijtihad or effort? Or is it that when we face with a problem, just leave it at that and let it fizzle away? Or let it build in some cases?